Let us pray. Take my lips, O Lord, and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them ablaze with your love. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The parable of the bridesmaids presents us with two contrasting examples of Christian hope in the world, a hope prepared to leave and a hope prepared to wait. On the one hand, the five foolish bridesmaids are prepared to leave. They have only stocked their lamps with enough oil for the imminent arrival of the bridegroom. They have not considered the possibility that he may not arrive exactly when expected. So when the bridegroom is delayed and their departure to the wedding banquet is postponed, their lamps burn through the long hours of the night. Their wicks are scorched, and their oil is consumed. When the advent of the bridegroom is finally announced, the five foolish bridesmaids awake to find their lamplight waning in the darkness. And unfortunately, oil can't be transferred from lamp to lamp, and there is no 24-hour oil dealer in town. While they search for oil they will never find, they miss the arrival of the bridegroom. And with faces disfigured in the dark, they find themselves on the wrong side of a locked door. Even though they call out to the bridegroom, "Lord, Lord," he does not recognize them. I think more often than not, the church falls in with these foolish bridesmaids. Her lamps burn bright, but she has no reserves because her hope is only prepared to leave. The fundamentalist church in which I grew up put all of its hope in the end of the world. We were all banking on the rapture, looking forward to the day when Jesus would return and we would all float up into the air and get transported up into heaven. We were all hyped up on the Left Behind books, and some of us even had bumper stickers on our cars that said, "In the event of rapture, this vehicle will be unmanned." We wanted the rapture to happen, and we wanted it to happen in our lifetimes. Now, I stopped believing in the rapture a long time ago, but the older I get, the more it makes sense to me. A quick glance at the headlines is enough to stir up a desire for the rapid conclusion to human affairs. We see terrorism, mass shootings, global warming, the threat of total nuclear annihilation, and on top of it all, the sheer immensity of the universe that makes all of it seem so entirely meaningless. In a world as cruel as ours, who wouldn't want to be raptured away? But a hope waiting on the end times will become hopeless in no time. Like the dwindling oil of the five foolish bridesmaids, such a hope can't last the long night of the bridegroom's delay. When the relief of rapture doesn't come, the darkness of end times escapism will disfigure our Christianity. Some of those fundamentalists I grew up around consider the time between the ascension and the second coming to be an inconvenience. For them, every new disaster was just one step closer on the way to the end of the world. Eventually, the world would get so bad that Jesus would have to come back. More wars meant we could accelerate Armageddon, which was good because then God could give us a new world, and then Jesus could finally begin his reign. As odd as that may sound to us in our context, fundamentalists aren't the only ones who embrace a form of end times escapism. Episcopalians sometimes do this too. We are tempted to think that Jesus' big ideas about nonviolence and economic equality just don't work in the real world. We are more inclined to make practical changes through public policy and then defer to Jesus to sort the rest out when he comes back. In either case, there seems to be no real hope for the world until it's ended. So it should come as no surprise to us, then, that since the year 2000, there have been 22 major end-of-the-world predictions, with dozens more already scheduled for the next century. If the Church's hope is only post-apocalyptic, if she's only prepared to leave, then she can only ever wander in the darkness while the bridegroom passes her by. But on the other hand, the five wise bridesmaids are prepared to wait. They have not only stocked their lamps, they have filled their reserves. While they know the bridegroom is coming, they also know he likes to defy expectations. When he is delayed, they are not surprised. In fact, they rest easy, knowing the length of the night cannot exhaust their lamplight. When the advent of the bridegroom is finally announced, these five wise bridesmaids awake and restock their lamps. When they meet the bridegroom, their lamps shine as brightly as before, and they process with him to the wedding banquet which he has prepared ahead of them. Now, more than ever, the Church needs to fall in line with these wise bridesmaids. Her lamps should burn bright, but with ample reserves on standby, because her hope is prepared to wait. Humans have a long tradition of counting down to doomsday, and more often than not, the Church has filled her lamps accordingly. But what would it mean if we, living in the year 2017, were still living in the early Church? What would it mean if 3000 AD were still the infancy of the Jesus movement? Do we have enough oil on reserve to keep our lamps lit in the year 30,000? If that seems outlandish, consider this. We belong to a 2,000-year-old church in a 13.7-billion-year-old universe. Relative to the grand scheme of cosmic time, it's not crazy to think that we're just getting started. And if that's true, if we are still living in the early church, then we need to escape our escapism. Perhaps it's time for a paradigm shift. The bridegroom has not abandoned us to this long dark night. He has entrusted us with it. The church's job is not to escape the world, but to enlighten it. Like those wise bridesmaids, we are light-bearing acolytes in the procession of the bridegroom. The world knows that he is coming because we are already here. And the light that we bear, just like theirs, foreshadows the light of the wedding banquet, which is a celebration not of an ending, but of a beginning. To hope, therefore, is not to passively wait for the end of the world, but to actively witness to its new beginning. The question is, how do we become wise? How do we keep our hope reserves full? If hope can't be found out there, if it can't be borrowed or bought, then it must be instilled within us. And that is only possible when we participate in a community that embodies the story of Jesus, the story of light entering the world. When we have fellowship with others who watch and wait, when we open scripture and break bread together, that oil, that hope wells up within us. And the more we do this, the more we intentionally watch and wait together, the fuller our reserves will be and the brighter our hope will shine. If we live into that fellowship, we can even bridge the gap between the wise and the foolish. When their companions were unprepared, the wise considered every option except the most obvious, to walk with them. If you feel your hope is burning bright today, then make every effort to walk beside the hopeless. You may not be able to share your oil, but you can certainly share your lamplight. Likewise, when they found themselves unprepared, the foolish also considered every possible option except the most obvious, to stay where they were. If you feel your hope has burned out today, then don't go looking for it elsewhere. Abide with those who do have hope, You may not be as prepared as you would like to be, but the bridegroom will still find you where you are. When Jesus says, keep awake, he means be vigilant. Being foolish or wise has nothing to do with falling asleep, but everything to do with being prepared. So let us do everything in our power to keep each other prepared. If we do, then we can shine brighter than we ever could on our own. That false hope for a replacement earth can't hold a candle to the hope for the renewal of this one. When our hope shines in the dark, we bring the radiance of the wedding banquet into reality a little bit more each day. And our hope is made secure in the fact that the beginning has already begun, and that when the bridegroom finally arrives, it will have begun in full. Keep watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Amen.